shepherd.
Well, I know how difficult it is for a pastor to give up his pulpit, and I empathize with those of you that have come to hear Pastor Combs preach. I'm just a fill-in, and I'll take his place this morning, and I appreciate the opportunity of being back here at Grace Baptist Church, and we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do, not only today, but in the days to come, as we work and labor together in reaching this world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was noticing little Declan this morning, not little anymore. He's growing up rather rapidly. He's all dressed up in that suit and had his tie on, and I asked him if he was going to preach this morning. And he kind of looked at me strange with a kind of a smile on his face, and I said, "I want you to preach this morning." And he went like this. I said, "Well, I guess we'll let you off the hook. You don't have your Bible here." He said, "I left it downstairs." But when you see him, call him Preacher Man, if you would. He just looked like a nice little preacher man there. And it'd be wonderful if the Lord called him to preach, wouldn't it? And would be nice if this guys over here would all be called to preach as well. All you have to do is ask the Lord what He wants you to do. He has a place for you. He has a service for you to do. And all you have to do is ask Him, "Lord, what direction do you want me to go? How can I best serve you?" And the Lord will certainly direct that and show you exactly what He wants. Well, we want to give you a little update on the ministry. First of all, I do want to thank you for the support that you give to our work and labor of love. It is very, very meaningful to us and helpful in reaching out to the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been busy the last 6 months redoing a place. Well, actually, the building, it's been 3 years now that has been in the making. But the last 6 months, we've been primarily working on the new press that we bought and getting it set up in Bedford, Pennsylvania. And there's where all the Bibles and the New Testaments and Scripture portions are going to be printed. The place in Florence, South Carolina will continue to do the gospel tracts and different printings for churches that are in need of our services. But Bedford is the place where the Scriptures are going to be printed. And it's been quite a haul in getting this press, getting it set up, and surprises along the way, parts that were very difficult to find. We had to rebuild the folder on the press, and we had a very difficult time finding the parts and getting them adapted and into our folder. But everything is put together right now, and the Lord willing, the last steps are going to be taken tomorrow to turn the power on. Start putting paper through and seeing what we have. So that is going to take place tomorrow and Tuesday. Tuesday we'll know an awful lot about where we are with the press and what we're able to accomplish with that press, and hopefully we'll be able to start immediately. We have 3 truckloads of paper in the building right now to print. There's about 42 rolls of paper on every truckload that we bring in. So you can just imagine 3 truckloads of that. These rolls are about 1,100 pounds each and about that big around. And we've got them stacked to almost the ceiling because the building is relatively small. We don't have the kind of room that we really need, but we're going to be operational here before too long. And so pray along with us if you would, please. There's a lot of printing that we need to do, and churches, ministries, missionaries around the world are waiting for those scriptures. And in fact, last evening, while I was sitting having a cup of tea over at Miss Erica's place, we had a call for Bibles. And so you just never know where they're going to come from, who needs them, but we are in the business, the Lord's business, of printing His Word and getting out the Scripture. Several interesting things that the Lord has done. The technician that is working with us and redoing our press and setting everything up comes from Joplin, Missouri. And he has been with us before Thanksgiving. and then went home for Thanksgiving, and then come back, and then had to go back at Christmas time to be with his family at Christmas. But when he left at that time, the press was not done. He thought it would be, but he said he couldn't come back till February. And boy, that was just not what I wanted to hear at all. So we began to pray, and we said, "Now, Lord, you know he has this job that he has to do down in Mississippi. They print a newspaper. We print Bibles. So, Lord, what's more important here? If you want that newspaper printed, well, then you let the technician go to Mississippi and do that job. If you want your Bible printed, then you need to redirect him back here as soon as possible to get this press done." And the Lord answered that prayer. All of a sudden, there was a call from the company in Mississippi, said, "Could we postpone that for 6 weeks?" Now, some might look at that as rather coincidental. We look at it as God heard our prayers, and he put emphasis on the Bible over a newspaper, and the technician called and said, "Would it be all right that we come and finish that press?" I said, "Well, let me look here and see." "Oh, yeah, you can come." And so he come just shortly after the first of the year, been there ever since. And tomorrow we should be turning the press on to see exactly what we have. So keep that in prayer, if you would, please. We have a lot of printing that has to be done, a lot of people that are waiting for scriptures. We now have a distribution, three distributions in Mexico. We are setting a distribution center up in Honduras. We have one in Colombia, South America, one in Peru, South America. And we had a meeting on Friday, and we're planning on opening another distribution in Guatemala. And so that will pretty much take care of the Spanish-speaking world. We reach into Dominican Republic as well in those places, but those places are going to be well-serviced and kept fed with our ministry. This year, we've already sent scriptures to Sierra Leone. We've sent Bibles into Cameroon, Africa. We sent a truckload of scriptures out to Brazil, Indiana, that is. Our truck couldn't swim the ocean, so we just took it to Brazil, Indiana. And then they go from there down to Texas and then into Mexico. And we're getting ready to send another truckload out to Lee's Summit, Missouri, that will be filtered down into Mexico as well. So continue to pray. A lot of work needs to be done. A lot of Bibles need to be put together. A lot of places that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were sitting around the table last night drinking tea and got to discussing the different places this Miss Erica has been. And she talked about the Bible place in D.C. What do they call that? What is it? Museum of the Bible. And we have been there. One of the things that literally broke my heart when I was there was to go in that room that they had set up with all of the languages of the world on a bookshelf that circled the room. And the ones that had the scriptures were a certain color, and the ones that had no scriptures was another color. And the places that do not have the scriptures outnumbered by far the number of places that do have scripture. I don't know how you feel about that, but I believe everyone in this world deserves a copy of God's Word, don't you? If you cherish your Bible and you put a high premium on the Word of God, then you certainly would want to see to it that others around this world had God's Word as well. I believe one of the greatest neglects that we have overlooked as a church is not being involved in getting the Bible to the world. And I'm thankful that this church has been involved with our ministry for several years. And the work that you do is certainly commendable, and we thank the Lord and look forward to even more in the days to come. Just before the end of 2022, Wednesday night, I was on my way to church, and I got a phone call And the individual on the other end said that we want to give your ministry some money. And well, when you hear that, of course, there's an element of praise the Lord. And there's one thing that we always need. Do you know what that might be? Our ministry runs paper and ink. We take just plain old paper, put ink on it, and it becomes the Word of God. And the Lord says that He cherishes His Word. In fact, He elevates it above His name. So there's a high premium that God puts on His name. So this businessman said, we want to give you $75,000 for the purpose of buying 2 truckloads of paper and printing John and Romans for some country of the world. Well, I was elated with that, and then it followed up with, and we'd like you to match that, raise the money to match that, and print whole Bibles. So the last weeks we've been working on raising funds to match that $75,000. We've raised so far $36,000 toward that, and we're very, very thankful for that and looking forward to how the Lord is going to take care of the rest of it, but very confident. We've already talked to the paper company, and we're looking forward to ordering that paper and getting it down to Bedford and on the press and out the door, traveling the world to tell others about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The entrance of His Word gives light. And if there's anything I know about this world, it is an absolute spiritual darkness. And it's only the light of the gospel that is able to reach the lost and bring them to the foot of the cross and tell them about Jesus. I was thinking as the preacher was reading that long list of troubled and distressed hearts. We can sum up the answer to that in one word. Jesus. Jesus. Every troubled and distressed and despairing soul in this world, the answer is Jesus. And it's the message of the gospel that we need to get to them so that they can put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, I think I have an hour to preach, or two. You aren't going anywhere today, are you? You're looking at me kind of funny with that one. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to take them and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119. You know, the Bible is the greatest of all books. Would you say amen to that? And I believe in the depths of my soul to study it is the noblest of all pursuits. But even greater than that, to understand it and to live by the standards of the Word of God is the highest of all goals. When you come to Psalms 119, you are confronted with the Word of God. It's all about the Bible. All of these verses that the psalmist has recorded for us through the direction and ministry of the Holy Spirit has to do with the Word of God. And it has to do with the relationship of the psalmist to the Word and how it impacted his life and how it directed his life. And I believe with all of my heart that the same way that it impacted the heart and life of the psalmist is the same way that it will impact the heart of you and will impact the heart of me. The very things that God gives to us in His Word are all to direct us to Him, being dependent upon Him, relying upon Him, and allowing Him to direct our paths. When I look at Psalms 119, you know that there's 22 different sections of this psalm. And all 22 of those sections have something to say of significant importance about the Bible and what the psalmist thought about the precious Word of God. But I'd like to call your attention to Psalms 119 and beginning with verse number 89. So if you're at all able to stand with me, we'll read a few verses of Scripture here and then bring the message the Lord has laid upon my heart. Psalms 119 and beginning with verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Isn't that good news? It's settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances. for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my afflictions. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. I want to call your attention to three little words in that portion of Scripture. And they're found in verse number 94. I am thine. Well, what a tremendous thought. The psalmist was expressing to the Lord, I belong to you. And if you're saved this morning, that is true of you as well. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. We have the responsibility of glorifying God as a result of that. But to be able to say to the Lord, I am thine. What a tremendous thought and a powerful impact the Word of God has had on the psalmist. And I trust on you as well. Let's pray and then I'll bring some thoughts the Lord has laid upon my heart. Our loving Father, we thank You for this day that You've given to us, and thank You for the great Sunday school lesson that we heard this morning from Leviticus. I pray now, Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, that our hearts would be open to receive what You have for us. We certainly appreciate the songs that we've been able to sing this morning. Appreciate the good fellowship that we've been able to enjoy. The good work that was done last evening in putting Thy precious Word together. And certainly the fellows that they sung for us today. And I pray as we open our Bibles, the Holy Spirit will direct us, lead us, and help us in all that we do and say, that it might glorify You. Save the lost, I pray, and encourage and bless Your children. We'll thank You for what You do because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Those three words remind me of the song that Fanny Crosby wrote when she said, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. I don't know if Fanny Crosby was looking at that particular verse. I kind of think that she might have been. When the Lord impressed upon her the words for this great song, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. But the most important thing this morning is, can you say that? Are you able to sit in this auditorium this morning and with the psalmist be able to say, I am thine, O Lord, I belong to You. You saved me, You bought me, I'm no longer my own, and I'm in Your family. The Bible very clearly tells us that we are bought with a price. If you're saved this morning and know Christ is your personal Savior, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. We're not to choose our own path and our own doings. We're to follow very clearly what God has recorded for us in His Word. And without being fully surrendered to the Lord, we're not going to be walking in the ways of the Lord either. So the Lord wants us to recognize that we belong to Him. And we are the sheep of His pasture. And He's the great shepherd of our soul. And is there to lead us and direct us in all that we do and say. The Lord wants our hearts. He doesn't want a portion of you. He wants everything about you. Our lives are to be fully and completely surrendered to Him. And so that whatever we do, it will be from the heart. We're to believe from the heart. Would you say amen to that? Oh, by the way, if I don't get amens, I preach longer. So we'll just have that understanding right now. If you want to go to lunch, you better learn how to say amen real quick. All right, we're to believe from the heart. We're to sing from the heart. We're to love from the heart. Everything about the child of God is to be done from the heart. The inner depths of our soul surrendered, completely turned over to the Lord. Our giving ought to be from the heart. Where is your heart right now? This is the month of February, and there's a lot of hearts floating around. People are thinking about the heart and love and all of those things. But our love should be centered on the Lord, and our hearts should be totally and completely yielded and surrendered to Him. That's what the Lord really wants of us. So the question that I have for you this morning, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Does it belong to the Lord? The psalmist was able to say, I am thine. I belong to you, Lord. You've purchased me. You've bought me. You belong to me. And the psalmist rejoiced in that truth. There's three simple things that I want to share with you this morning that when your heart belongs to the Lord, when you truly are fully surrendered to Him, there's some things that's going to be true in your life and will also be true in mine. The first thing that I would say is that when we are fully surrendered to the Lord, we can rejoice in the stability of His Word. The psalmist said it very clearly in verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. God is eternal. It's eternal. And the psalmist reminds us over and over in Psalms 119 how eternal the Word of God really is. When God gave us His Word, it was settled in heaven. The Bible tells us in verse number 144, the righteous of Thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Excuse me. I've been having trouble this season of life with coughing and congestion and whatnot, and it gets to me every once in a while. I try to tone it down, which is a hard thing for me to do. But the psalmist was rejoicing in the stability of God's Word. The fact that it was settled, the fact that it was eternal, the fact that it was never going to end. And he rejoiced that. And really, when your heart is in the Lord, your heart belongs to the Lord, you're going to be able to rejoice in the stability and the eternality of God's precious Word. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I can't help but think about the liberals and how they want to water down the Word of God, take portions of God's Word out and eliminate them because it's not to their liking or to their choosing. It's always amazing to me, those that want to rewrite the Bible, that they're so arrogant in the fact that they think they can say it in a better way than God did. Now, say amen to that or oh me, one of the two. This is God's book. And God doesn't want anybody getting into it and changing it and altering it and rearranging it to say what they want it to say. But that's what the liberals do. I think of the atheists and how they tried to deny it. The liberals water it down and change it and want to put it the way they want it. But the atheist flat out denies the Word of God. Doesn't want to believe it and embrace it and follow it. The cultists, they try to twist it and malign the Scriptures in such a way that it suits their cultic ways. But God's Word stands forever. I feel a shout coming on right now with that one. God's Word stands forever. He doesn't change His mind about what He said. He doesn't alter or find a better way to say what He's already said. God doesn't make mistakes. You believe that? God doesn't change His mind. Do you believe that? God's never caught off guard. Do you believe that? These times that we are going through, God's not sitting up in heaven wringing His hands as, what am I going to do now? He's in charge. Absolutely in charge. And all of the foolish things that we see man trying to do today, whether it's coming out of China, whether it's coming out of Russia, or whether it's coming out of Washington, D.C., God's in charge. And He set the pace and He set the outcome of all of this. And we can rejoice in the fact that we are on His side. So we can rejoice and be thankful that God's Word is settled in heaven. That means that it's set. It means that it's established. It means that it's appointed. That means that it's firmly fixed and does not change. The psalmist rejoiced in the fact that God's Word was settled in heaven. And how long? Forever. Forever. God's Word was true in eternity past. God's Word is true in the day in which we live. And God's Word will be true all the days of our life on the face of this earth and will be true throughout all the ceaseless ages of eternity. God's Word is pure. God's Word is indestructible. God's Word is truth. The question today, as many people are asking, what is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The technician that we have at our place working right now and putting scriptures together was a lost man. And we've been witnessing to him, telling him about Jesus. And he had a background of some religious experiences. He got involved at one portion in his life with the Mormons and was baptized and by the Mormons and recognized that he wasn't comfortable with that, left that, and just different things, and couldn't figure out the Trinity and struggled over the Trinity. And I said to him one day, I said, well, Alan, if you figure out the Trinity, let me know, because I'm still trying to figure it out myself. It's by faith. We by faith are able to accept the things that God has written in His Word. It's faith. And faith explains the Trinity to us. We believe it. We embrace it. So we've been witnessing to Him and telling Him about Jesus and the greatest... Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Will you excuse me for just a moment? Oh, there's nothing like cool, refreshing water. Want a drink? Oh, okay. So we've been telling Alan that he needed the Lord and needs to be saved and whatnot. And we had him trapped one day. There's a walkway between the tables here and the press here and a short walkway here. And I was in front of him and Dan was back there and our pressman was back on the other side of him, and we was telling him about Jesus and witnessing to him, and he had nowhere to go. He couldn't escape. And we got the message to him one of many times that we gave it to him. And this past Tuesday he came in and he said, are you ready for this day? And I said, yes I am. And we were standing by the press, and he said, well, I prayed this morning. And he said, I feel pretty good about today. And I said, well, I hope you prayed the right prayer. And I kind of walked away and left that resonate a little bit. And about 11 o'clock last Tuesday morning, he got us there, and he said, I just wanted you to know, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me this morning. And so we're rejoicing in that and thanking the Lord. We told him, if he wants to go home to his family in Joplin, Missouri, he's going to have to get saved. The Lord is keeping you here all of these days. Now, it's very expensive to keep him there. But if his salvation was what kept him there, and it's worth every dime that we spent to keep him there, because you can't put a price on a soul. I feel a shout coming on right there. You cannot put a price on one soul. If what you did last night, those 9,614 or 41 or 10,000 or 100,000, whatever it costs in order to do that, you cannot put a price on one soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So we rejoice because we know it's through the Word of God, the stability of God's Word, that we can rejoice. It's by the Word of God that we're born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It's because of the Bible that we can grow spiritually as we get into God's Word. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Praise the Lord for that. But God expects us from that point on to be growing. And He's commanded us to do so. Grow in grace and knowledge. That's not a suggestion, church. That's a command. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never grow without getting into your Bible. I don't know of a hunter that goes deer hunting without his rifle. God's people shouldn't go to church without their Bible. God's people shouldn't start the day without their Bible. God's people should refer to God's Word throughout the course of the day, allowing the Word of God to sink in deep into your heart and direct the path of your life. Because it's by the Word of God that we grow in the things of the Lord. It's by the Word of God that we are built up. That's why in every service here at Grace, every service, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday school, the morning church, the evening church, the Wednesday night prayer meeting, the revival meetings, the missionary conferences, the man that stands in this pulpit, one of the things that he's going to say, take your Bibles and turn to such and such. There's a premium put on the Word of God at this church. Why? Because that's the way people are saved. Why? Because that's the way people grow. Why? Because that's the way people are built up and established in the faith of God's precious Word. It's through the Bible, the Word of God, that we are defended against spiritual wickedness and high places of principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. It's the Word of God that puts the devil and all of his cohorts to flight. Jesus was tempted. He didn't say, well, now I need to check with so-and-so to see what I'm to do about this. He quoted Scripture to the devil and drove the devil into a corner. But there was no escape and he had to retreat. And the same thing is true in your life and mine. We use the Word of God as our defense against the spiritual wickedness that is ever so present in this world. We drive back the devil through the Word of God that we are enlightened for the journey that we are taking. Every day is a decision. Every day, multiple decisions are going to be made. What influences you in those decisions? What's really impacting you to make the decisions that you make? Better be based upon this book. You're going to take the wrong road in life and it's going to bring disaster and heartache and disappointment to you. Brother Dan in Sunday school this morning from Leviticus was talking about the Lord and saying to the nation of Israel, if you don't, I will. You don't obey me? You don't follow my commands? You're not going to do what I've told you in the Word? I will visit you. I will. The same thing is true today. Either we follow what the Lord wants and do what He's commanded, the Lord is going to intervene. There's no doubt in my mind He's intervening in the affairs of the United States of America. As a matter of fact, there's no doubt in my mind He's intervening in the affairs of this world. Folks, this is wind down time. We're in the last days. These gurus that are telling us things are going to get better and we're in the midst of a worldwide revival. They haven't read the same book I've read. My Bible says that there's going to be perilous times, difficult times, hard days. Men are going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Oh, we know that to be true. This is an evil day, a wicked day, and man isn't improving on his ability to do things. He's winding down. One day is going to face God Almighty. So the Bible enlightens us for the journey that you and I are taking. And very clearly, the Bible is a book of warning, isn't it? It warns us. If you don't, I will. God's Word is settled. If your heart belongs to the Lord, you can rejoice in that. The second thing that I would say to you, if your heart is settled on the Lord and He has your heart, you can rely upon the steadfastness of His faithfulness. Notice what the psalmist said in verse number 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Oh, I like that. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. You know, everything is just the way the Lord planned it. The way that He planned it. This world in which we live, He planted it. He made it. Spoke it into existence. He sustains it. And we are nothing more than a ball of fire flying through space at an unprecedented speed under the finger of God Almighty. No scientist did that. God did that. No group of scientists could ever come up with a solution for that. God just spoke it and put it into existence. And if God is able to do that, I surely can depend upon His faithfulness. That means that our Lord, our God, is completely and fully trustworthy. You can trust Him. Oh, but preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. If we read that long list that the preacher talked about this morning, the answer is Jesus. It's as simple as that. There's no problem that you and I face and encounter in life that He's not the answer. We just need to get in step with Him and in perfect harmony with Him. And all these ills and frustrations and disappointments and heartaches of life are taken care of because He's totally, completely, undeniably trustworthy. You can trust Him. You can believe Him. He certainly is faithful in forgiving us of our sin, isn't He? The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, and that word confess means nothing more, agreeing with Him, siding with Him, that what I've done is sin, my sin is against You, God, and I confess that, I own up to it, it's what I did, I chose to do. He said, if you confess your sin to Me, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Aren't you thankful for that? The blood of Jesus cleanses from sin. Something else I can tell you about, He's faithful in providing for us. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's promised to do that. When I think about last night and coming together to put these scriptures together, and the good meal that we had, I don't know who made the meatballs, but I'd like to know who you are. I went back for a second dose of those meatballs, which I should not have done, but they were so good and so delicious and so satisfying and just such a delight that I enjoyed the meatball. And put them on that bun and tried to put that in my mouth. That didn't work. So I had to use a fork and a knife in order to get that all done. But oh, how delicious. God supplied those needs for us. If you weren't here last night, you missed out on a wonderful time. Wonderful meal, all those chocolate chip cookies. And why am I talking about food right before lunch? They'll be wanting me to say amen and we're done and go home. I'm just saying that to remind you how faithful God is. The psalmist was able to say, I trust in Your Word, but I also trust in Your faithfulness because I know that You will fulfill what You said in Your Word. And Your Word tells me You'll forgive me of my sin if I confess it. And Your Word tells me that You'll provide my needs, all my needs, according to Your riches in glory. You know, God never depletes His riches. He doesn't take from His riches. It's a very interesting verse in Philippians 4:19. He doesn't extract from His riches in order to give to us. He said, what I'm going to do is bless you according to those riches. The pot of gold never is depleted. God says, according to that. And He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the wealth and the lands. It all belongs to Him. All belongs to Him. And He said, I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. I'll meet your needs according to, not from, My riches. That's God's Word. And certainly we can trust Him and rely upon Him for all that He does. I'm thankful that we can trust Him to give us strength. You ever feel tired? I've seen some of you last night when you got up after doing all the scriptures. Twisting those achy bones from sitting there doing the work of the Lord. And all you had to do is ask the Lord, Lord, give me strength. Give me strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall, what? Renew their strength. I'm thankful that we can trust upon our Lord and rely upon Him because every promise He's ever made, He keeps. He keeps. Man has failed me. And every one of us can say the same thing. God doesn't. You can trust His promise. Why? Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. So, the psalmist was able to say, I can rejoice and be thankful and my heart is fixed and settled upon the Lord because I rejoice in the Word of God.
I rely upon the faithfulness of God. And the third thing that I would say to you is that you recognize the sufficiency of God's Word when your trust is in Him. The psalmist said in verse number 95, "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me." May I say this world is no friend to the Christian? No friend. As a matter of fact, when Jesus, after the upper room and leading His disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, John chapter 15, He was instructing them and teaching them. He said, "Fellas, I want you to know, the world hates me. Because it hated me, it's going to hate you also." This world is no friend. That you're not of this world. I've taken you out of this world. Someday He's going to come back and literally take us from the very presence of this world. But you and I can rejoice in the fact that our hope, our trust, our sufficiency is in the Word of God. Even though the world hates us and there's hostility and animosity toward the child of God, toward the church, toward the Bible, toward the standards that God has set in His Word, even though they have hostility and anger and rejection of all of that, you and I can rejoice in it. Because the sufficiency of Scripture is what sustains us and keeps us in this life. Our Lord has created all things and He sustains all things. And I'm thankful that we can trust Him. If the world has nothing to offer to the Christian, and certainly it doesn't, then we ought to be looking to the Lord every day and finding comfort and encouragement in Him. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost because of the blindness that Satan has created and placed upon mankind. The natural man receives not the things of the Lord, the Word of God, because they're foolishness to him. He can't understand it and make sense out of it. He can't comprehend it and put all the pieces of the puzzle together. You might even say here this morning, "Yeah, but I know people that are lost and can quote all kinds of Scripture." Yeah, they might be able to quote it, but it hasn't done anything for them. They don't understand it. They don't comprehend it. Doesn't make sense to them. So they reject the Word of God. So the world has nothing to offer to the child of God. You know, every unsaved person is under the dominion and under the bondage and under the power of the God of this world. Do you know why we come here last night? Do you know why we travel to all of these churches? Do you know why we're not ashamed to ask for your help and financial investment in order to print more of God's Word? Because we know there's power in God's Word. And it's by the Word of God that people are going to be changed. It's not a new law that we need in our country. It's not a general ruler that we need over this whole world. What people need is the Word of God that directs them to the one that really is in charge, God Himself. And if that gospel is hid, it's hid because Satan has worked overtime to keep people in spiritual darkness and away from the truth. Do you think the devil appreciated one thing that we did last evening? Do you think the devil sits back in glee and says, "Boy, just look at those people at Grace Baptist. They really want to get out the Bible. They really want to get out the Word of God. Willing to take a Saturday night and come and do that." Think he rejoiced in that? The devil fights us every step of the way because he's an enemy of this book. He's an enemy of the God we serve. He's an enemy of this church and the people of this church. He's an enemy. And he wants to keep people away from the truth of God's precious Word. Praise the Lord. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The psalmist said, "I've seen the end of perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." Man is imperfect. Man is imperfect in his thinking. Man is imperfect in his desire. Man is imperfect in his ways. Man is imperfect in his knowledge. It's all flawed. It's all imperfect. And that's what the psalmist was saying here. But the Word of God is broad and all-encompassing. Remember what Paul, the apostle, wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction. Why? The man of God might be thoroughly furnished to all good. The Bible is broad in its scope, isn't it? The Bible is prophetic in its truth. The Bible is the revelation of God on how holy He is, how just He is, how loving He really is, how compassionate He can be, and how He stands with outstretched arm, inviting the world to come to Him. Don't miss it. They will never come until we tell them. They will never come until we tell them. That's why you have Saturday morning visitation. That's why your pastor is encouraging you to pass out tracts. That's why your pastor has led you to be involved in the Bible ministry. Why? Because the world will never come to Jesus until we tell. And I think one of the greatest ways that we can broadcast the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is through the printed page. The Bible is sweeter than honey. The Bible is the standard of all truth. The Bible is wonderful and faithful and pure. And like the psalmist, you can rejoice in His Word. You can rejoice and be thankful and rely upon His favor. You can recognize the sufficiency of Scripture and allow it to mold you and grow you into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So here's the question. Does God have your heart? Does God have your heart? Without a surrendered heart, we're really not where God is. I challenge you to search that question. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes